Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show. And I do apologize for the semi-late start. Yeah, I say semi-late. I mean, late start. So I do apologize. We just had a little issue with the
connectivity.
Just a little connectivity issue, which sometimes, you know, even though we have the awesome, wonderful internet, every once in a while, sometimes it just will give you a little bit of just a little hiccup. And that's what we had. That's why we're like 1 or 2 minutes late, is because it's just a little hiccup. And it was, of course, our full intent to be on time. It's got to be on time. But, you know, every once in a while, something just might happen. And it's kind of what we had happen. But, praise God, we're on. And it's good to be with you wherever you may be tuned in tonight, however you may be tuning in. You know, whether you are using your phone, you called in, whether you're, you know, streaming it on your phone, or maybe you're using your tablet, maybe, and by tablet, I mean like iPad or something like that. Obviously, like a writing tablet that's non-electronic. If your writing tablet can stream shows like this one, that's a miracle, and you should probably tell us. you should probably tell us. But chances are it's not that kind of tablet. If you're streaming this program using a tablet, we know it's an electronic tablet. but anyhow, or maybe you are using one of those desktop computers still. Yeah, I remember those, but it's been years since I've been on one. I don't know if it's now dinosaurs who use them or her. No, I'm sure. I'm sure people still use them. But these days, so often, it's like our tablet can do so much of what we used to need our computer to do. And these days, and some of it even on our phone now, especially over the last like 10, 11 years or so. And man, I gotta say, this AI stuff, I can see maybe where there could be some good from it, but at the same time, there's things about it that are not good. I'm not gonna take all kinds of showtime to get into all of what could be good about AI, what could be bad about AI. But the truth of the matter is, we're in the last of the last days. And of course, there's, like any day, there's good things about it, and there's bad things. Honestly, I feel like every generation, every era of time has had its good things and its bad things about it. And even though, you know, we might see, you know, the increase in evil, which the Bible tells us will happen the closer we get to the rapture. And obviously, I am for sure, we're closer now than what we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think we're quite a bit closer than what we were when I was little. Mm-hmm. And even when I was little, in like the 1990s, I can hear my pastor saying from the pulpit, it's the last days. And sometimes even the last of the last days, but not quite like now. But he was still saying it's the last days. And he had said before, not even John Osteen, you used to be able to see between his fingers like this. Like as time would go by, it would be like this, meaning there still was still some time. And then you would slowly, you know, and then they would pretty much get, and you could barely, by the time he was about to die, you could barely see him, see his hand. When he would do that illustration back in like 1998. And so, just to give you an idea, and here we are 25 years later, and we're still on the earth, so whatever we were then, we're all the closer now. And there's been different, like, theologists and stuff. Where's my water?
Okay.
There's been different theologists and stuff who, even almost 20 years ago, they were shocked that we were still here.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, in my mind, if they're still saying that now, they should be even more shocked now, because here we are almost 20 years later. But this was back around like 2004 that I can remember him saying that. I might not have it on cassette tape or anything, but I do remember him saying that from the pulpit. And yes, it was in 2004. I just know because obviously I can't remember everything he said on what day and what have you, but sometimes there can just be like little things that stick out to me from various times like that. And so, let's say, yeah, we are totally on borrowed time. Am I saying he'll come tonight or tomorrow? Who knows? I mean, he might or he might not. Jesus said, we do not know the day or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
He specifically told us. I mean, in the Word. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not Peter and I'm not Paul. I'm not Simon Peter. And I'm not, you know, Thaddeus and Bartholomew or one of the 12 that was right there with him. Obviously, the Bible tells us we don't know the day or the hour. So that's why, you know, we just keep living our life. But at the same time, we still wait upon the Lord. But you don't just sit and wait necessarily like how you sit and wait for your bus. And were there ever times where you would sit and wait for your bus, but you still did not want it to come?
Me?
Yes, when you were younger.
Yeah, there were plenty of times.
Why would you be waiting, but you still wouldn't want it to come? In my mind, if you really didn't want it to come, I would think you'd just be sitting on your bed.
No, because, so like, it would be my bus for school, so I'd have to wait because my parents were watching to make sure I waited for the bus for school. But I didn't want it to come because I did not want to go to school.
So that's why you couldn't just do the lazy sit in your bed and wait for it to come.
Correct.
And that's even if we were to stop right out your bedroom window.
Right.
So otherwise I would think it would be funny to just hop out your bedroom window and go to the bus.
I think that would be kind of funny. I bet, yeah, I would have got a lot of chuckles from the kids.
Because, you know, like, because that way you're laying in your bed just in case it doesn't come.
Right.
And then,
but see, if I were laying in my bed waiting for the bus, I'd fall asleep. I could sleep anywhere. I could even sleep on the bus. So if I were waiting in my bed, I definitely would have fallen asleep.
So you wouldn't be that person that's like, well, I'm just on the ready for whatever.
Oh, definitely not. No, I am a sleeper. I like to snooze.
That's why you weren't just one of those people that could just say, okay, I'm on the ready. I'm sitting on go.
Yeah, definitely that would not be me.
And obviously sitting on go means you're just ready. You're just waiting.
Right.
Know? Well, so you won't just... So you wouldn't be just sitting there today, sitting on go. You would actually be sitting there in sleep mode.
Exactly.
Instead of being sitting on go, you would be sitting on stop.
Pretty much.
Wait, just waiting for that signal that says.
Sitting on snooze, let's call it that.
Yeah, you'd be sitting on snooze.
Yeah.
So just hoping, just in case.
Right.
That bus did. Did you ever have that miracle time where the bus did not come, only to find out later that they had called a snow day?
I luckily never was in that position.
What?
No, my mom was an absolute angel, and if there was even a hint of a snow day, she would be dutifully watching the TV to see it scroll across the top.
And now I know what happened to me a couple different times in the same school year. My mom literally had me up and walked out to the bus stop. Literally. We literally walked out to the bus stop. Actually, twice within like two different school years. And we even walked out there. Like we drove, one time we drove the car out there, another time we walked out there. And we, after a little bit, like 10 minutes or so, we go back inside, call to see, you know, where's my bus. And both different times, we found out, snow day.
So did that make you happy or sad because you had been out there? Wait.
I was kind of like, well, it is what it is, and then, like, went to bed. Even though I had eaten breakfast, I still went to bed because at the same time, and I can see why that could be irritating, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Because at the same time, it'd be like, well, why didn't they call us? You know, why couldn't they call us and tell us, snow day?
That'd be a lot of kids for them to have to call and tell.
Because, you see, at the time, I was living out in Sanford, Meridian, but I went to school in Midland. And so I wonder if that's why the bus garage didn't just call us.
It could be.
And what had happened was it had been like minor ice. But apparently, there was talk that the ice could get worse throughout the day, which...
Yeah, I think a lot of times when they call a snow day, it's because of the fact that it was going to get worse than what it was already.
Do you feel like you do kind of remember a couple different minor snow days that were like that?
I do. I remember...
A couple of them that, and then... Was one of them like she was going to, like they were going to come get you up and then they're like, oh, wait, no school.
Right.
That actually happened once. It was like they just got a notification or whatever, literally.
Yep. It's happened a couple of times.
And I'm guessing it was like literally like at 6:30 or 6:25 or something, wasn't it?
I'm sure it was. I don't remember the times because I was a sleepy girl, but
you,
that sounds about right.
But you remember a couple times, like, they waited until the last minute to call.
Right.
But part of why they waited is because, like, it was rather minor, so it was a hard decision to make.
Right.
And
do you ever remember the days where they'd have you go to school, and then an hour or two in, they're like, this is looking kind of shady. Let's send the kids home.
I can actually remember an early release back in like 1998 and then another one back in like 02. One of them was an 11 a.m. release, actually. I actually remember an 11 a.m. release.
Yeah, I remember a couple of those myself.
Well, one of them, do you feel like one of them was bad, like, out towards the Mills area, but not so bad in the city yet?
Yeah. A lot of times it felt a little bit worse out there because there were a lot of fields open. So even if it really hadn't snowed that much because of the wind and no road blockage.
And one of them was an ice event in, like, March of 98 or so.
That one, I'm just going to have faith in your memory because my memory is not that good.
But, one of them could have almost been, it's not that bad in the city, and it's 11 a.m., so I'm all day.
Woo-hoo! All day.
Because of course, but then again, you were a little less with that, but I mean, some of the high school kids might have thought that. They would have been like, it's not that bad.
They probably would have thought that.
Oh, it's not that bad yet. And I bet you, I wouldn't have been surprised if the food court would have possibly gotten more busy over it.
Probably. I bet you a lot of kids got dropped off at the mall as their quote-unquote daycare.
But you bet some of those teenagers did on one of those 11 a.m. snow days?
I'm sure they did.
I don't know. If I was a teenager at the time, I probably would have been like, I would have been thinking at least, but then, wait a minute. Doggone it, I live on Baker. So that meant it was more apt to be iced over. So I would have been like, nope. I would have been like, nope, better go home because wouldn't want to be iced out and what have you. I can remember one time 5 years ago, I literally escaped an ice storm so I could go to an indoor carnival event in Ohio.
Really?
Yes. And it was when there was like a big ice storm warning up here, and I literally got out of here just in time. And then I literally got back the next day right as they were clearing the roads, literally.
Oh, wow.
But the roads were still bad both times. Here, not there, though. Not in Ohio, thank goodness, because... Toledo, Ohio, nearly had a record low amount of snow for the winter season this year.
Did they? I thought we had a pretty low snow season, too.
Actually, ours ended up closer to normal because of that very eventful late February we had. Because we had, like, two different rather big snowstorms that were out like close to 10 inches apiece. You forgot about that.
I did.
And then that ended up raising the total amount for us. And then Saginaw ended up getting more than Flint for the first time in a little while. Of the big areas, Detroit got the least, as they should, because in my mind, they should always get the least.
Why do you think that?
One of the furthest from the big Great Lakes, I feel like, so that by the big ones, I mean like Michigan and such.
I gotcha.
And because of the way, like, there's that big snow machine that pushes from, like, Michigan everything over to, like, Grand Rapids, Muskegon. And it just kind of goes, have you ever been on the west side of Michigan over by Grand Rapids and that on truck driving when the snow machine was in use?
I have not.
But you've heard of that snow machine being in use.
I have.
But that, well, you say, why do I call it the snow machine? Because it wasn't snowing here or in the Detroit area, but it was snowing a lot over on the west side.
That makes sense then.
You've heard of people being over there, though, when the snow machine was on.
Yes, I have.
Is it just me? Or do you feel like that snow machine is dangerous?
I think all big machines like that can be dangerous if they're not used by someone who's been trained properly.
But I was calling it the snow machine, meaning all that snow.
So are you asking the snow being dangerous?
I feel like it's worse when it's the lake effect kind.
Yeah, that can make a difference.
Have you been over there on your truck when it's been doing it?
No, I haven't. Most of the time when it's been snowing, I've been down south in my truck.
So I'm guessing you've been in a Detroit snowstorm that wasn't here.
I have been, but not in my semi.
Was it like just a 3-4 incher that we didn't get? Or was it more like they got 8, we got like 3?
No, it was more like they got 3 or 4 and we got maybe a half inch.
So it wasn't one of the big bad ones.
Definitely not.
Will get at least one every year. But Grand Rapids will get even more.
They tend to, don't they?
Oh yeah. Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. I want to remind you of a couple things. First thing I want to remind you about is the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, and it's the story of how great God has been, and just reminisce. And I think about, different things I went through over my life. And even when I was super little, those medical reports, that we would get from the doctor about me not living, not being able to carry myself past 8, dying by the age of 12. The devil lost. God won.
Amen. Praise God.
And that's in the book, Rivers of Miracles, the story of my life and how great God has been. He's always been there. He's still there now. And I know that God is, that most of that miracle, Jesus is still going to do it. As I know I am a work in progress. But then again, we are actually all a work in progress. Whether you think so or not, we are, because even if we don't necessarily need, even if we're not necessarily, believing for God to receive, for our eyesight to be restored and some things like that, and some other things like that, even if you're not having those kind of needs, the truth of the matter is if you're a Christian on this earth, you are still a work in progress. God is still working on you. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Because it took him just a week to make the earth, the stars, sun and the earth, and all the other planets.
Mm-hmm.
And then this thought comes to my mind. How lovely and patient that he must be that he's still working on me. He still is. And that's the gospel truth. It really is. I'm not just saying that for some kind of cliche or play on words or anything like that. Nope. It's the real truth. He's still working on us. And I know that he's going to do it on our behalf. The other thing I want to let you know is Wednesday night, I'm not even sure that if I'll be doing a show Wednesday night because I'll be in Illinois. I'll be attending an event with Pastor Rambabu, a pastor from India who will be doing meetings there, healing meetings and what have you. I'll be there in Springfield, Illinois for Wednesday night and Thursday night. I'll be flying over there Wednesday morning. And then after that, I'm going to go to that state to the south for a couple days. And then I'll be back tonight and we'll be back for the show Monday night. And I can bet you listeners know what state I mean to the south. And it's not Indiana. It's that other one. That's certain other one that I love a lot. What do you love about it so much? A lot of different things, but the other thing, housekeeping thing that I want to remind you of is about the PayPal. No, wait. Some of you might be wondering, you know, how do I buy that book that you've been talking about, Rivers of Miracles? You go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing for you. And how it, you'll be so glad you read it once you do read it. And I pray,
can testify to that.
Oh, yes. And I pray that as you read it, I pray that it will increase your faith and that you'll see through it, you know, really what God can do. And because he can do a lot of different things. There's other things in that book about me, you know, that I'm not going to sit here and tell you it all, because otherwise I'll spoil it. It's almost like when you know there's a certain movie you want to see and you don't want certain people who I want to the theater to watch it or watch it at home maybe to tell you all about the movie before you get a chance to watch that movie. So with that in mind, I'm not going to spoil the book. But
Rivers, may I give a brief review?
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to review what all is in the book. I just want to say as a reader, to tell all of you out there listening, that book was moving. It was motivating, inspiring, and just so beautiful. Julie, who is River's mother, she's the one that wrote it. And you kind of get a little bit of two testimonies, her own and River's. And
yep.
It's just written with such pure wholesomeness. Julie spoke from the heart, and you can really hear her voice throughout the book. It's so beautiful, their testimony. So give it a go. Check out riversofmiracles.com to get that book. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Yep, and you will not regret it.
And again, that Rivers is with an I, not a Y, like my first name. And you'll be glad you did. Speaking of that, the other thing I want to remind you about real quick is about the PayPal. And if this has been a blessing to you, us coming to you three times a week like this, I pray it's been a blessing to you. I pray that you've been getting something out of it. In order to sow your seed, like Natalia has, by the way, Natalia, if you're listening, thank you so much, Natalia, for doing that. You can go online to paypal.com, and in order to sow your seed, in the search bar, you'll want to type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, Rivers. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind, if you would, kindly, that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I would like you to take note of is that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So make a note of that. And I pray for your seed whenever you give it. The other thing that I want to say about that is I don't decide for you what to give. That's, in my mind, that is to be between you and God. It's to be between you and God. I don't do pressure. And if you're feeling pressure, maybe it's from God trying to tell you what to give. And you'll be obedient to God, but I'm not going to sit here and pressure you on what to give. I'm not turning my episodes into fundraisers. I'm not doing that here. And so you can rest assured of that. And now I'm going to, before I sing a couple songs, the verse I want to give to you tonight is Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with whatsoever measure you give, it shall be given unto you. And so now I'm going to sing a couple of songs for you. Saturday's silent, surely it was true. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Pentecostal fire. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Resurrecting power runs in my legs too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Do you hear it? My God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that he wants to. Just ask the stone that was rolled at the tomb in the garden what happens when God says to move. I feel him moving it now. I feel him doing it now. I feel him doing it now. Do it now. Do it now. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again.
This is the sound of drive on rattling. I hear the sound. 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 This is what it says. Live. Live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live. Live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live. Live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live. Live. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire and heal my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe, Lord. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, you hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire. Heal my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my word.
You are all I need. Oh, I believe, Lord. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You're my healer. Thank you, Jesus. I'm giving you my dreams, giving you my dreams. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, giving you my voice. I lay it all down for the promise of a new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I surrender all to you. All to you. I'm giving you my dream. I'm giving up my pride. Let's surrender for counting all else lost for the sake of knowing you. Give us joy. Give lay it out the cross for the world proclaim, and I surrender all to you, all to you. Oh, and I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm giving you my dreams, surrendering my life. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. Giving you up my right, surrendering my life. I've laid all down for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you.
I surrender all to you, all to you. I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm giving you my dreams, I lay it all down, surrendering my crown for the sake of you, my King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We surrender everything to you, Jesus. Our dreams, our hopes, we give it to you right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Love you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Master, for what you're doing, and each and every person who hears this broadcast, each and every person who is tuning in to this broadcast tonight, wherever they may be tuning in from, you know what they're doing. You know where they are, what they're doing. And I thank you, Master, that your hand is on them, that you know what they need, where they are in their life, and what it is that they're believing for from you. And I thank you, Master, that you're just meeting those needs tonight, because I know that you have them in the palm of your hand. Thank you that you use me tonight to deliver this message tonight to those who hear it, and that you anoint their ears to hear it. Their minds to receive it. I pray, Lord God, that they would not be distracted, but they would turn off those distractions that would try to be distracting them in where they are right now. And I thank you for that. And I thank you. Now I'll make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership tune into this program. Most importantly, I thank you, for the huge amount of souls coming into this program as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel 1. Amen. We're going to look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, book of Zeke. Actually, Ezekiel, but I just said Zeke because it kind of sounds funny. And I'm going to begin with verse 1. Thank God for the word of God. Sometimes I just think to myself, and I go, what would we do in a day like today without the word? What would we do? I don't know. I know one thing, though. We're nothing without God. We're nothing without him.
Amen.
Amen. Without him, we're literally nothing. I'm going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 1. In the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles to the Kabar River, the heavens opened, and I saw visions of God.
On the 5th of the month, it was the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. And the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians. So the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north. An immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal. And in the fire was what looked like four living creatures in appearance of the form was that of a man. But each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the bands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn out as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man. And on the right side, each had the face of a lion. And on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead wherever the spirit would go. They would go without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures were like burning coals of fire, or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright. Lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces, as was the appearance of structure of the wheels. They sparkled like chrysolite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel, intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions. The creatures from cedar and wheels did not turn about as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved, and when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them. Because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. when the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. When the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse of the wings was stretched out one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of these wings like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings above the expanse over the head. The heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire, and high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist. Okay, it looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Now let's look at chapter 2 and see what he said. Excuse me. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." The Spirit came unto me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Let's turn in the page. And he said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people for whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. on both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And so what you see, you were describing all these different creatures and everything that they looked like, and like there was all these different, you know, some of them looked like this, some of them looked like this, and like different, like crystallite, and like all these different, and they, he was describing like the clouds, what those looked like, and he was seeing a vision. And by the way, it wasn't something he felt because maybe he ate too much pizza the night before. I don't know if the Italians had even invented pizza yet or not. I don't know. They say pizza is supposed to be from Italy, but that's beside the point right now. I just did that because I thought it was funny. But nonetheless, it was a true vision from the Lord, and God was showing him some things before he spoke to him. And then he had him do something interesting. The Lord had him stand up, literally stand up before he would speak to Ezekiel. And so God has him stand up. The Spirit just fills him. The Spirit of God just fills him, and then he stands up, and then the Lord begins to speak to him. And he sends him to Israel. Israel had been a very rebellious nation for a very long time. And it was they were just doing every sin imaginable. You know, they had been doing it for a long time. Later, he prophesies, which is something that I would like to show you. I want to show you this other passage where he talks about what he wants to restore Israel. It's in Ezekiel 20. Just make sure and just looking for it real quick, just stay with me. Actually, no, it is not 20. Basically, he basically says, you know, that he's gone, that at some point it will be restored to what it had been. Even though first it would be, that first there would be punishment. Because they had sinned so much against the Lord. And so many of their fathers before those. I don't mean like Jacob, and by no means those after that. And they had just been you know, they had not been doing what God had been asking them to do, because he had told them specifically what they needed to do. And rather than pay attention, they just decided to just have no regard. Actually, I want to look at 11, starting with 16. It talks about the promised return of Israel. This is after he talks about their leaders. Therefore, say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will gather you, the nations, and will bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered. I will give you back the land of Israel again. They will return to it and will remove all of its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and will give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and will be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable idols, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Then the cherubim, with the wheels between them, spread their wings, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them, and the glory of the Lord went up within the city of, and stopped above the mountain east of it. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the exiles in Babylonia in the vision given by the Spirit of God. Then the vision I had seen went up from me, and I told the exiles everything the Lord had showed me. So, you see, what had happened was, he said, Israel fully became a nation again in 1948. In 1948, Israel was restored as a nation, with the capital being Jerusalem. In 1998, it was the 50th year of Jerusalem being a country. This year, 2023, marks 75 years that they have been a nation again. One of the signs of the last days, the way I see it, is Israel being restored as a nation. Right now, Israel is surrounded on every side by enemies. Did you know that basically high school students in Israel, male or and female, they have to register to be a part of the army. They have to. In case there's a big attack and they might have to go to war. They have to register for the army, whether they like it or not. And if they don't, it's not good for them. They actually have to join the army. Not just that little registration paper that we would do here in the United States where we were required to register for the draft when we turn 18. Oh, it's different from that. Because any day, any time, the enemy could strike and they'd have to be ready. And the enemy is not going to say, in 2 weeks, I'm going to strike. It's not how it works. She was basically and then, you know, the Bible tells us to pray for Israel. It literally tells us that and so God sent Ezekiel there to go talk to them, to talk to their leaders and tell them what the Lord had said. Later he ends up going to deal with Tyre and Sidon, which are sinful places like Sodom and Gomorrah were. And in so many places of America right now, we are living in like Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. Like here in my state, Michigan, where I live, with the whole different, you know, stuff going on. And this whole idea of the 52 genders that they say, 57, whatever it is, and like things like that. You know, folks, this is like Sodom and Gomorrah all over again that we're dealing with. But there were things going on in Israel too. They were sinning in Israel. And God was not happy, but Jesus isn't going to just kill you right there, right where you are. Unless it's like an Ananias and Sapphira thing. Like where Ananias was first asked about the money when he came. He lied to the Holy Spirit, dropped dead, and was ordered carried out of the temple with his dead body. Later, Sapphira came and lied. She died right outside of the temple. Both of them died hours apart because they didn't tell the truth about the money. I hope we don't start seeing that again, but who knows? Only God knows. But I hope we don't get to that. But, you know, God was speaking, you know, to Ezekiel. And I get it. It's cool, you know, all the different creatures, they all look, you know, their own different way. And they were all, you know, looked like some kind of spectacle, something you might see in like some art installation or something. God won't always appear to you like that. He won't always appear to you like that. And why Ezekiel goes into all those details. You know, what he saw and what have you. Obviously, he was trying to describe something, but I'm sure it wasn't meant to be like he was trying to describe it like it was this huge art thing. But obviously, you know, his glory is awesome. And he really is wonderful. He really is awesome in all his ways. He really is. And obviously he was telling Ezekiel what to do. And Ezekiel goes and he does as God tells him to do. I'm sure he didn't want to say everything. I'm sure of that. Because God would have had him say some harsh things. But things that they needed to hear. That they needed to hear to hear. And they had gotten into all kinds of idolatry and other things. And of course, God does say anything that you put in front of God, like more than what you had in God, to like where now you love this more than you love God. It's an idol. It's an idol. And he does not like idolaters. In fact, he hates what they're doing. God doesn't hate anybody, but he does not like sin. He hates sin. And he wants you, of course, to be free from it. And they had all these different, you know, they had different shrines, they had different, you know, high places and the like. But God said that when the nation reappeared, they would be without those. And those high places were to those other gods. As in not Jesus. Not our God. But Now I'm going to close it up. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get this word in our heart tonight, that we would realize that, you know, sometimes he speaks to us, God speaks to us in different ways. He's not always going to show up to us like he showed up with Ezekiel. There won't always be all these thunderings and lightning and all that crazy wind and everything else. But thank you, Lord God, that you're with us, that you're meeting those people right where they are. Thank you that those who don't know you, they will give their life to you right now. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In terms of sports, a good game by the Tigers, but they fall to the they fell to the Baltimore Orioles at Camden Yards in Baltimore yesterday by a score of 2-1. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.